Mohair is a silk-like fabric or yarn that's both durable and resilient. It's notable for its high luster and sheen, and it's also warm because it has great insulating properties. That's why it is, along with cashmere and silk, one of the world's most popular luxury fibers. It's usually more expensive than most of the wools that come from sheep, but you may have noticed that recently mohair prices have gone sky high, the result of its growing scarcity. Some experts are predicting that its source, the mohair goat, is headed for extinction. And joining us now from his offices at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo is Arthur B. Davies, Professor of Biology, Dr. Morton Sigelson. Welcome to our show.
Thanks very much, Lenny.
Can we begin at the beginning? What is the mohair?
I'm a biologist, so I'll try to simplify it. It's a hybrid goat, part Moroccan goat, part Spanish goat, combined back in the 16th century when they were experimenting with hybridization. And it was brought to South America by the Spanish, and they're raised mostly in Chile and Peru, similar to the Altai Mountain goat and the Anatolian black goat that you find in Turkey.
And how did it get its name?
Well, as you know, Lenny, I'm not an etymologist. I know a little entomology, but I do hear that, and I tend to believe that there's two answers. I don't know which is right, really. Either the mohair is named after its hair, with the mo from the Latin root, you know, coming before it, meaning increased quantity of, or it's named after the Angora hare, H-A-R-E, which is a rabbit, of course, which has similar fur. There's a third. I think there's a third possibility, because the subspecies for goat is hircus, H-I-R-C-U-S, hircus, which is like hair, haircut or haircut.
And so it could come from that as well?
Yeah, any of those three. I don't know which.
So why are we facing a shortage of mohair? Aren't there lots of mohair goats?
This is interesting. I mean, people are buying a lot more of it, first of all, and it puts pressure on the species. And the mohair, you know, from the beginning, the mohair has had trouble reproducing because, like the donkey, which has 62 chromosomes, when they tried to put that together with the horse to make the mule, the horse has 64 chromosomes, and the mules ended up mostly sterile. Occasionally, you'll have a non-sterile mule. And these goats were the same genus, Capra, but not the same species. So they had this wonderful fur, but things had to be just right to mate successfully. And now with global warming, things are not just right anymore.
Now, how is global warming playing a role in this?
Well, these animals like to drink moving water, water that's dripping. Like, do you have cats, Leonard? They like to drink from the spout at the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Same with these animals, and they especially like glacial drippings and the glaciers. They're dripping more because of the melting, but at higher altitudes. And if you get to higher altitudes, that's not conducive to the normal mating, the normal time the mohair goes into heat. So there are fewer kids.
Fewer kids, but you can still produce a lot of mohairs, can't you? Or are they just are we seeing them dying out, or are they? I'm not sure I understand how that works.
Well, they're fewer and fewer as the elevations go up, and there is ironically more fur being sheared. They shear them more often to keep them cool in the global warming, but those very short strands are hard, if not impossible, to spin into yarn. So what happens is you get a little more, but the price goes up, and the animals themselves, I think, are endangered, at least those at the high altitudes.
So what can be done?
What can be done? You could buy less mohair. I wouldn't buy no mohair, because that will put the mohair farmers out of business.
Well, is it okay to buy less expensive mohair scarves and sweaters at places like Target and Talbot's?
Yeah, I think that's all right. But I still would cut down on the amount to take the pressure off the herders and the farmers. Interesting, my friend Stanley had recently bought what's known as an alpacuna coat, which is, it says right on the label, no alpaca or vicuna in it. And I think if they'd come up with some parallels, the pashmina, as you know, died out completely because of the heavy desire for pashmina. If they could come up with some equivalent, I think that would be, you know, so terrific for the mohair. That's one thing that could be done. And you could support your anti-global warming efforts. If you go to nomohair.net, you'll find ways, efforts to save the mohair, which I'm involved in, of course.
How did you get involved with the whole issue of protecting the mohair?
Well, it was interesting. I was a high school student. I liked biology. And then at random, when I signed up to spend 6 months abroad in an exchange program, they sent me to Peru to a mohair farm near Lima. And it was a self-sustaining, pretty strong business. And the family I was with, you know, did well. And then years later, when I was in college, and wrote me and said they were having terrible problems. So I went down to visit them. And I studied the goats and saw the problem, and so it became very personal with them and the people around them.
And how powerful is this movement? Are a lot of people joining you in trying to cut down on the abuse of the mohair? I mean, are the mohair seriously endangered? Is it likely that in 10 or 15 years we won't have any more mohairs?
Oh, we'll be lucky to get to 15 years. And no, it's a movement that, frankly, it's very small movement here, and I was hoping that just being on your show would help. I hear you have many listeners.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Dr. Morton Sigelson is the Arthur B. Davies Professor of Biology at the Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo.
Thank you.
Anger can be destructive, but it can also be a positive motivator. Up next on Please Explain, Drs. Philip Muskin and Howard Kesanov explain where anger comes from and how you can manage it. If you have a question about anger, you can give us a call at 646-829-3985 or leave a comment on our show page. Richard Leacock was an esteemed filmmaker, a cinematographer, director, teacher of documentary film, helping to invent what has been known as cinema verite. He died in March at the age of 89, and you can access my 1999 conversation with Richard Leacock by going to our show page and clicking on Tributes. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.